Welcome to PJEFC's Pulpit Ministry, a ministry that is committed to the preaching of the Word to transform lives.
Good morning, church. It's good to be able to connect with you again. I don't have any more video, so just boring slide. But I have one beautiful picture. Happy, godly family. Thanks, Leon, for helping me to put this up. But today's topic is a serious one. Family discipleship. Actually, I told Pastor Alexa, I'm not sure that I'm the right person to preach this topic or not. It's really hard because I find family discipleship. To tell the truth, I spent 3 months to prepare this message. But not because on the way how I should present it. I think that one I can do it in 2 weeks. But it's about how I reflect my life, how I did and how am I doing as the head of the family, as a father, and also as a husband to Carol. Still Carol. Just kidding. Okay, so I just want you to do something for me. I need you to help me to set a baseline. So once we set the baseline right, then it's easy for me to communicate and cascade down the message to you. Can I have the Slido slide, please? Oh. So I have one question for you. Can you please scan the QR and type your answer there? So the question is this. What is the most precious thing that you wish you could pass on to your children? Can you please help me? Please type your answer there. Okay, thank you for your participation. I think more or less we get it right. I think the right answer for me, but actually also in biblical term, is faith. Faith in Christ, right? Because end of the day, nothing else matters. All this will go away, but ultimately it's our relationship with Christ that will last forever. So, of course, you can argue that, hey, Chiwa, you cannot pass your faith to your daughter, right? Your daughter also need to have her own personal faith. Point taken. But as the head of the household, if I have a strong faith in me, I think that is a good starting point already, so that I can exhibit my walk with the Lord, and hopefully she herself, by looking upon me, can build a strong faith on her own also, right? So the baseline is, if you all agree, is faith, or faith in Christ, okay? Now, I want to share you another story. It's not a good story, it's a sad story, but I'm not sure whether is it true or not a story, but I just want you to get the point of this story, okay? I dramatize it in the Malaysia context, yeah? So one day, there was a teenager. She rushed back home, met up with the parents, and tell the father and mother, saying that, hey, I'm pregnant. So the mother, of course, was very sad. She was wailing, crying, because they were very poor. They didn't know how to take care of the newborn baby. And the father was furious, angry, asked, who is the father? Who is the father? Tell me, I want to kill him. Who is the father? So while they were having all this commotion, then an expensive SWAT car passed by the house and then parked in front of the house. So one young-looking rich man walked down from the car, walked inside the house, and talked to the parents. Of course, you know that guy is the father. So then he said, okay, if this baby girl, if your daughter gives birth to a baby boy, he will have 3 factories of mine, 10 million ringgit, and your daughter and your grandchild will be taken care of for the rest of their life. If it's a baby girl, I will give 5 million ringgit to you, and your grandchild will have a factory from my company, and they will be taken care of. But if anything happened to the baby, what do you think I should do? So this young man asked the parent, you know. So the father answered, you should do it again. You know what I mean, right? You should do it again. So we can laugh, we can judge, but that's how the situation is. When we are being tested, sometimes we do not know how we will react, right? But when the father said that, I think we shouldn't be quick to judge. The point of the story is this, because we do not know what is going through in their household, right? Correct or not? So, but when he say that, of course now we can say he never give attention to the daughter's need, right? The daughter's life and dignity. Never care about the wife feeling so far and so forth. But I just want to bring you to what we want to pass on our faith to our children, to a bit reality. Sometimes in life, it's not smooth sailing. Okay, with this backdrop, my message will be all about that only. So I will always go back to the point number one, faith. Faith in Christ, faith in Christ. Okay? Now, let us go to the sermon text today. Yeah? Can we do it together? If you don't mind. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1 to 9. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, your God, your ancestor, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. The Lord your God, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Yes, Lord. Help me, Lord, to preach from your authority. Speak, Lord, for your children are listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So you see, for the first three verses, right? Now, as you can see in short three verses, how many times you were mentioned? 9 times, right? So for Deuteronomy chapter 6, the key focus is on you, the teenager and the adult, not on the children, because the children might not understand what Moses was telling to the Israelite, right? Now, if you can see, very simply, there are two here's. In chapter 6, the first here, when Moses say, "Hear, O Israel," he asks you to hear to obey, right? So Moses has been directed to teach the commandments, the decrees, and the law. And what is the behavior and action that's expected from the people? Is to fear the Lord and obey. And when you do that, the Lord actually gives you a promise so that you can enjoy long life, it will go well with you, and increase greatly, right? So the first here is, hear, O Israel, obey. Be careful to obey so that it may go well with you and you may increase greatly, right? Now, but the second one is, the second here is to love. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your heart. This is the second here in the passage, right? Now, in the Hebrew, this word strength or might, right? Actually, it's very difficult to translate. I remember Pastor Chai Hock shared this message. He said this word, actually, you want to translate it, it's supposed to translate to very. Very. I mean exceedingly, greatly. That means what the Lord wants us to do is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with your very. That means it can differ from each individual, no? It's not like physical strength, with all your strength, no. It is your very. It simply means love with all that is in you, your heart and your soul, right? And all that you have. So I have gone through a commentary. Basically, he said, it encompasses every aspect of our being as well as all our exertion of energy, all of our lives, all of our identity, and all of our action, all of who we are, our gifts, and our capacity to act. Okay, so not only physical strength, right? So with that, I just want to tell you that as I chew on these six verses, right, I realize actually to obey without love is not sustainable one. I can obey my wife for a while, but if I don't love her, I don't think I can obey her for the rest of my life, for example. True, isn't it? So the Lord knows this, right? Second, but to love without obedience is hypocritical. Actually, it's impossible one. Right? This is how the Lord say, you love me, but you do not do what I say. Jesus says, if you love me, you would obey my commandments. So love and obedience must go hand in hand. Right? Jesus didn't say, if you obey me, you would love me. No. So our obedience must be motivated by love. Okay? So maybe I paraphrase it. Here, O PJEFC, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, the unique one, the one and only. There is no other. Therefore, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your very. The one you yourself need to search and answer. Okay? Seven to nine. Impress them on your children. This them is the commandments and the decrees and the law. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as a symbol on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them down on the door frame of your houses and your gates. You see, then only the Lord asks you to hear. Hear, O Israel. Obey and love, right? Then only come to discipling your children. That's why the key is you, teenager and above, okay? So then he say words and visual. As you can read from a passage, right? But there's one, two more things that is implicit here, which is reinforcement. You need to keep reinforcing the Lord's commandments and the decrees to your children, right? When you walk, when you sleep, what do you talk about at your dining table when you are driving? You know, you need to keep reinforcing. Otherwise, they won't be able to learn from you, right? And also, they need to see your action. They need to see your action. Because children will not do what you say. They will do what they see. Because they will do what you say. What they see, right? Because they see what you do. Right? Am I right? I remember, okay, I just want to share with you. One day, I was doing an alpha course many, many years ago. So one of the brothers told the son is like 6, 7 years old. He said, hey, you need to honor your father and your mother, no? So that you may live long in the land your God giving you, blah, 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 blah. Then I was like saying, hey, why you talk to your son like that one? 6, 7 years old, I don't think he would know what honor means, right? Correct or not? So this fifth commandment, actually, then I sat down with him. I say, actually, what it means is this. you should honor your father and your mother. Right? So then when you do that, your son will see how you honor your father and your mother through your action. They will learn and they will follow your example. Right? So when the fifth commandment was given, actually it's talking to those adult or teenage and above, I believe so, they can understand. And therefore, God's formula is very simple. You just need to disciple your children, your one generation after you, that's it. So for the grandparents here, if I may say, please don't do your children's job. Let them disciple their own children, right? Because in the process, the parents will also learn. Will also learn. They will also work harder to try to make the word plain to their children. And they will then spend more time with their children and encourage them and then expound the words to them. Right? So you cannot outsource family discipleship to other people. Sunday school, impact youth. You cannot do that. That's not biblical, no? That's not biblical. You cannot outsource to Pastor Alexa and the team. You cannot do that. If every one of us, every head of the household today, do what the Lord say, I think our church ministry will prosper. Less issue, right? Don't you think so? Sorry, I'm not trying to judge you. I'm just speaking the truth in love. Because I'm not a perfect man, I will share with you my story later. But I just want to tell you, family discipleship is simple, very simple. God gave you a formula, right? Yet very challenging. Why is it simple? As I say, you just need to disciple your next generation. It's your job. But it's challenging is when I'm not sure whether you have passed on the right teaching and value to your children or not. This is what I say, what is your conversation at the dining table, in the car, whatever you talk to your children? Do you talk about Bitcoin? Do you talk about other stuff, right? War? Do you talk about, oh, I'm very scared, you know? Or do you actually inculcate faith conversation? Isn't it? So it is simple and yet challenging. You know why I say that? Because now I realize that kids at school, there are some parents also at the age of 9 to 12 years, open account for the kids to start trading share, trading bitcoins, you know, that kind of things. Yeah. If I trade, I know what I'm jumping into, it's fine, lah, you know. You must know the things that you buy, right? I'm not against Bitcoin, by the way. I'm just saying that what value are you passing on to your kids is very important. As you just mentioned in the beginning, what you want to pass on? Faith, right? I didn't say one, you say one. So faith, then you spend time to invest in what you just mentioned. Okay? So this first verse 1 to 9. Now let's go to verse... Before I do that, I just want to summarize it by saying that the Lord's words is key. How you wrestle with it. Sometimes you wrestle with it, right? You wouldn't be able to just say, oh, Lord, you ask me to do, I do. I don't think so. Then how do you go about it? The Lord asks you to do A, B, C. You say, Lord, I can do A, B, but not C. C, I don't want to do. So then you need to really wrestle with the Lord, spend time to worship Him, and then I can tell you, come to a point, Lord, I love you. I choose to obey. I choose to obey and believe so that I will see. I will see how you actually lead me and unfold. I choose to obey you. As you do that more often, right, once you get into a rhythm, then obeying the word becomes simpler. Trust me, I went through that. Okay? It's hard. It's really hard. I tell you, family discipleship is hard. Then only then you can be a good witness to your spouse and your children. Okay? So, here, OPJEFC, obey the word. Here, OPJEFC, love the Lord your God. Only by doing that, you can be a good example to your children and then disciple them accordingly. Right? Now, before I go to 10 to 19, I want you to imagine all of us. All of us have been working in the palm oil estate. Long hour, 14 hours a day, no clean water, no electricity, you know. You need to cook in the dark, sleep on the bed or on the floor sometimes, no aircon, a lot of mosquito, blah, 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 right? Then one day the Lord say, hey, I will deliver you. I will bring you to Kota Damansara. Okay, I'll bring you to Kota Damansara and Tropicana also, okay? Tropicana. So, but it took 40 years to travel 600 kilometers, right? Then for 40 years, you add only bread. Roti saja. 40 years. Twice you eat a bit of quail, meat, but 40 years you eat only bread. Okay? So when you enter into this, God tell you, Kota Damansara, right? You will have all the condominium, the bungalow, Yifeng bungalow is there. So all that with electricity, clean water, with papaya tree and banana tree next to the garden, and you don't need to do anything, man. All that set for you already. Okay? And with EV charger also now. I'm just saying that is the context. From a very, like a slave, now you are free, you ate bread for 40 years going to Kota Damansara. All set for, right? Do you think you will go too comfortable and be complacent or not? Let's ask ourselves, do you think it will happen to us? I imagine, maybe you give me a tunnel pillow to sleep. For the first few days, I cannot sleep. I must sleep back on the floor because I get used to it already. I'm serious, you know. You need time to adjust, right? But after a while, when you, man being man, human being, right, when you grow, you like the comfort already, you will slowly adjust and enjoy the clean water, fresh air, electricity, blah, 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 with a 90-inch TV in the living room. So, let's check our heart. I think I will be enjoying my life, man. And might even forget about the Lord. So that is the context. If you can read here, I won't want you to read. I'll read for you. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you a land with large, flourishing city you did not build. You did not build. The condominium is there already. Okay? House filled with all kinds of good things that you did not provide. Food is there, okay? Wells you did not dig, water, and vineyard and olive groves you did not plant. Then when you eat and are satisfied, God knows you will eat and satisfy, you know? Be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Fear the Lord your God, serve him only, and take your oath in his name. Do not follow other gods. Do not follow other gods here can mean do not follow the ways of the world, of the people around you. For the Lord your God, who is among you, is a jealous God, and his anger will burn against you, and he will destroy you from the face of the earth. Do not put the Lord your God to the test, as you did at Massah. Be sure to keep the commands of the Lord your God and the stipulation and the decrees he has given you. Do what is right and good in the Lord's sight so that it may go well with you and you may go in and take over the good land the Lord promised on oath to your ancestor, trusting out all your enemies before you as the Lord say. I want to summarize the passage for you. So verse 10 to 11, as I've just read, eat and satisfy, you enjoy the blessing that you do not earn. It is through grace God has put us where we are. I want to tell you, if you continue to read chapter 7 and 8, at one point, Moses even warned the Israelites, one day you will say that it is my own strength that I'm so successful as a businessman, I got so much of money. It is through my own strength. It's there, you know, chapter 8. So, but when you are prosper, when you have so much, please do not forget the Lord. That's why I put there, verse 12. God knows you might forget him. Do not forget the Lord. Verse 14, follow other gods, follow the ways of the world, right? And worse still, show contempt to the Lord. Test the Lord. Insist of the Lord test your faith. You test the Lord. Right? Therefore, Moses charged the people. Verse 13, fear the Lord. Keep the commands. Do what is right and good. So, God already warned them, you might grow complacent and show contempt to me, but I charge you now, fear me. Keep the commands. Do what is right and good. Okay? But what if they didn't manage to follow? You see, comfort breeds complacency, right? Complacency breeds contempt. So what will happen? There will be consequences, right? Burn against you and destroy you. Of course, our Abba Father is not like that. But He will discipline you. He will discipline you. I was disciplined by Him. But I don't think you want to test Him and go through the process. Really. Right? But because of His great love for us, He will, you read through the Bible time and time again. When He disciplined the Israelite, He will relent and help them. Actually, when He disciplined us, is it for His good or for our good? Our good, right? He wants us to remain in Him as He remained in us. If I may speak the truth in love, this is the part that I'm worried about PJFC. Because we are a middle to upper income church, right? Sometimes we might unconsciously over-provide a lot of material blessing to our children, right? And those blessings, if you are not careful, might turn into curse. I can give another example, which I share with my cell group. When the children couldn't go to Sunday school, right, because they couldn't wake up on Sunday. So then when the children cannot go, the parent won't go, lor. Parent won't go, right? Then I tell them, who is the boss in the household? Is it your children or you are the head of the family, right, or you? And then I ask them, hey, but strangely enough, Monday to Friday, they can wake up and go to school. I'm not sure whether the issue is with the kids or with the parents, but I shall not judge, right? I know it's not easy. I know it's not easy. But whatever it is, the instruction from the Bible is very clear. It is your primary responsibility to disciple your children or even discipline them when necessary so that they will not go astray and forget about the Lord. We need to do our best to train them in the way they should walk so that when they grow old, they will not depart from it. Right? And this also honestly applies to church leaders and social ministry leaders, CG leaders. I think, I'm not saying that you don't do church ministry. I'm just saying if there's any point in time that you have neglected your family because of church ministry, I think you need to put your priority right. Okay. Now, the last six verses. These six verses basically is talking about faith lessons. You know, faith lessons, right? How you experience the Lord and then build up your faith. So, 20 to 25 basically is saying, Moses is trying to tell them, hey, when your children ask, what is the meaning of the stipulations, decrees and law, you must communicate You must communicate with them, right? You must elaborate that you were slave, but now free. You must cascade down the faith lesson you experienced so that your children can relate to how God in His mighty hands delivered us from Egypt, and what does the Lord require from us? Is to obey so that we may always prosper and be kept alive. Now, on a bigger picture, actually, look, you read Exodus, right? Exodus. God say, so that Israel will be set apart as His treasured possession, a kingdom of priests and a holy nation, and be the light to other nations. That is the intent. So similarly for us at church, how do we relate to this passage? Actually, it's the same thing, right? It's the same thing. Now, how do you share your faith lesson to your children? Have you ever shared your faith lesson to your children? I think the first one would be your conversion, right? Have you ever shared your own testimony, how you come to know the Lord? So this is the point. I think faith lesson is very, very important for the children to understand so that your faith can pass on to them, right? My version would be like this. I share with you my version. How I will share with Charlotte and Claudia, my daughters. I was once lost and captivated by the things of the world and neglected your mom and you both. I placed career and financial security above spending time with you. I was slave to my sinful nature and had a wrong mindset until your mom and I nearly parted ways 20 years ago, right? Then the Lord intervened, and brought me unto Him miraculously. He called me out of darkness unto His marvelous light. I acknowledged Him as my Lord and Savior, and tried to follow Him as close as possible. You see, I'm quite rigid one. Once I believe in something, I will follow all the way, as close as possible. Okay? So I follow Him as close as possible. At times, it might seem hard to follow Him as His ways are different from the world's. Different. So, yet I persevere. As you can now see, He has guided me to be a better husband and father. I cannot imagine how would I be had I gone on my own way. I might be richer financially, but would I be more blessed compared to where I am right now? The straight answer is no. Definitely no. Because the Lord has proven Himself faithful time and time again. Hence, I will tell them, believe in Him so that you will see, because He knows best. He can see the end from the beginning. Right? Now, the question to you is this. Have you passed on any of your faith lesson to your children? If you have not, why not? Or is it because you have become too close to the world that you are now become, you have now become complacent or even living a compromised life? Right? I say this not to judge you because this is really tough. You know, I share with you, I spent 3 months to prepare this message, right? I need to reflect my own journey. So as I reflected, I found out there was a period of time, 2015 to 2017. I did not have any faith lesson, you know. That 3 years. I was distracted by the things of the world. I was busy with many things. I was also serving actively in the church at that time. I just run on a default mode, if I may say. Okay, I did not have any faith lesson during that time, right? And then I further reflect, and I found out that actually I fought with Carol a lot during that period, a lot. I think that 3 years combined, maybe it's like the whole 20 years already. It's really a lot. And I did not spend much time with my two daughters, Charlotte and Claudia, right? they were at the age of 13 to 15 then, right? Before that, we spent a lot of time. We have familiar altar. We pray together. We memorize Bible verses together. But somehow or other, that 3 years, it was like a period of wilderness for me. So until one day, when Shala asked me to help her to fix her laptop. So she gave me her password. I opened the password. I used the password to open the laptop. Then on the home screen, right, she got the wallpaper there saying that, God, please help my dad and mom don't fight again so that they will be well again. You see, God in his gentle way brought me back unto him. I'm not perfect. Right? From 20 years ago, I came to know the Lord. In between 2015 and 17, I wouldn't say I backslide, but I'm not perfect. I got distracted. So that day, I still remember I sat there. Then after a few days, I shared with my wife. I say, let's work together and make it work. Let's go back to the basic. Family discipleship is the basic foundation for the Lord to build his kingdom. So now I'm very clear one. I'm very clear. Anything happen to my family faith, I will drop everything just to make sure that. But of course, I don't give them everything. I'm just saying that. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying that I will, if there's one thing I really want to pass on, is their faith in Christ. And they themselves will start to write their own faith lesson. So the next time when they have children, they can pass it on to their children. Okay, so that's all I have actually, but I just want to close with 3 points. One is your faith will be tested. As I say again, if your faith is not being tested, maybe you're too comfortable or too close to the world already. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 7, Peter say, the genuineness of your faith, which is more precious than gold, may result in glory, praise, and honor at the day of Jesus Christ, right? So God is not interested in how much money you can tie, what you can do for him in the church ministry. He is more interested in your faith, right? So in order to do that, to make sure that you remain in him, do not get distracted by the temporal things and lose sight on the eternal. Read Psalm 73 when you are down. When I'm down, I always go back to Psalm 73. I preach on that sermon before. Because sometimes you just don't understand what's happening in the world, in this temporal world, right? But fix your eyes on Jesus and fix on him to ask him to reveal the ultimate reality. So that you can see. This is what you're seeing now is not the ultimate reality. Right? Fix your eye on him. Now the last one is to invest in family discipleship and leave a lasting legacy. Simple formula. When you invest in one generation, if that generation follow what you disciple them, they will do likewise. Then they will continue. Actually, because of you, just like I say, you are key, right? You might bless thousands of generations, you know. Let's say if Christ come back again in 2,000 years, if this family spiritual lineage continue on, right? You just do a simple compounding effect. You know how many people you would have blessed, right? So I always share with my Christian brother and sister, don't talk about win solvers, Talk about don't lose souls. Am I right? Talk about don't lose our children and put them on the altar of the world first. So I keep thinking, if we can every 3 years multiply, right, the whole world will become Christian already. Because we win some, lose some. Maybe we lose a lot more now. Right? So I want you to really go back to basic. Go back to basic. And invest, spend time in family discipleship. Okay? Apostle Paul say? What is his boasting when he disciple people? He's a disciple, right? He say, is it not you? For you are our glory and joy. So family's discipleship is hard. It starts with us as parents. Sometimes your children might not understand you. Worse still, sometimes your wife might misunderstand you and fight with you. But we have to persevere. If we all agree, faith in Christ is what matters in the end. And there's no greater joy when we know our children are walking in the truth. And what really makes discipling your family worth all your time, resources, and energy is when they have become your glory and your joy at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's all matters. Amen. Thank you.
You have been listening to a sermon from PJEFC. We hope you have been blessed by the message. For more sermons, please go to www.pjefc.org/sermons. Love God, love people, make disciples.